Father threw old boots at him. Still, he returned, unrepentant and bearing no malice at all, to sit a yard or two from the back porch, smiling and thumping away with his tail. One hot morning, taking pity on him, I gave him a bowl of cool water to drink. He lapped it clean, then sat down and smiled and started thumping again. The next day I gave him an old ham bone, which he took politely, removed, buried, and was back again in 5 minutes, smiling. Thump, thump, went the tail. My father came out of the house and threw a boot at him, but without much enthusiasm. It was simply a half-hearted show of force. Rusty knew this and moved in a little nearer. I said to my father, "Who do you suppose he belongs to?"
"God knows."
"He seems to think he belongs to us."
"You're wrong," said my father. "He thinks we belong to him."
"He's not fierce or anything, and he doesn't smell." He looked up from the magazine he was trying to read.
"Are you trying to say you want to keep the bloody thing?"
"It's just that I don't see how we're going to get rid of him."
"Short of shooting him."
"Oh, don't."
"We'll have fleas. Bring fleas into the house."
"I'll buy him a flea collar." Father watched me over his spectacles. I could see he was beginning to laugh. I said, "Please." "Why not? He'll be company for me while you're away."
Father said, "All right." So I put on some shoes, then and there, and whistled up the dog and walked over the hill into La Carmela, where there is a very fancy vet's.
And there I waited, in a little room filled with pampered poodles and Siamese cats and their various owners. And at last I was let in, and the vet looked at Rusty and pronounced him fit, and gave him an injection, and told me where I could buy a flea collar. So I paid the vet and went out and bought the flea collar, and we walked home again. We came into the house, and Father was still reading his magazine, and the dog came politely in, and after standing around a little, waiting to be asked to sit down, he sat on the old rug in front of the empty fireplace. My father said, "What's his name?" And I said, "Rusty." Because I'd once had a dog nightdress case called Rusty, and it was the first name that came into my head. There was no question of his fitting into the family, because it seemed that he had always belonged. Wherever I went, Rusty came too. He loved the beach, and was forever digging up splendid treasures and bringing them home for us to admire. Old bits of flotsam, plastic detergent bottles, long dangling strips of seaweed, and sometimes things that he had obviously not dug up. A new sneaker, a bright bath towel, and once a punctured beach ball, which my father had to replace once I had run its small and weeping owner to earth. He liked to swim too, and always insisted on accompanying me, although I could swim much faster and farther than he could, and he was always tagging behind. You'd have thought he'd have got discouraged. But he never did. We'd been swimming that day. A Sunday. Father, the deadline met, had driven down to Los Angeles to deliver the script in person. And Rusty and I had kept each other company, in and out of the sea all afternoon, gathering shells, playing with an old stick of driftwood. But now it was getting cooler, and I'd put some clothes on again. And we sat, side by side, the setting sun gold and blinding in our eyes, watching the surfers. They had been at it all day, but it seemed that they would never tire. Kneeling on their boards, they paddled out to sea through the breakers to the smooth green water beyond. There they waited, patient, perched on the skyline like so many cormorants, waiting for the swell to gather, to form, and finally break. They chose a wave, stood up as the water curved up and crested and showed white at its edge, and as it curled over and thundered in, so the surfers came too, riding across the wave, a poem of balance, arrogant with the confidence of youth. Riding the wave until it swept up onto the sand, and then stepping casually off and gathering up the board and back into the sea again. For the surfer's creed is that there is always a bigger and a better coma just around the corner. And now the sun was setting and it would soon be dark, and there was not a moment to be lost. One boy in particular had caught my eye. He was blonde, crew cut.